First John chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 3. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So far, the reading of God's Word. The Apostle John, one of his favorite words or favorite ways of addressing the church as a whole, one of the ways that we see Jesus in the gospel sometimes addressing individuals who are either believers or coming to faith. He says, "And now, little children, abide in him." You see, a believer is not someone who is great, but someone who is little and abides in someone who is great. And so when he addresses us, he addresses us as little children. And he tells us that we are supposed to dwell, remain in, rest upon our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, whereas John the Baptizer is known for that particular action, this Apostle John here tells us that every Christian baptism is a paedobaptism, or every true Christian baptism is a paedobaptism, or every effectual, it's probably even a better word, paedobaptism, it's Christian baptism. The word, sacraments, and prayer are made effectual to the elect for salvation. So we are all little children, and anyone who thinks that he is not a little child, depending upon Jesus, has not yet come to the biblical faith in which we rest upon Christ like little children. And so we are those who are little children because we have been born of him. There are many things in this passage that have to do with the new birth, with our status as children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, that have to do with the fact that a believer is someone who knows himself to depend upon Jesus, like a little child depends upon Jesus. So the first thing we have is the new confidence that we have from our new birth. Little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you are trusting in Jesus, if you are abiding in Jesus, then when he appears, who is the one who appears? It's the one you've been trusting in. It's the one you've been abiding in. It's the one who is your life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, says the other passage. So this is the new confidence that we get from our new birth. If we are depending upon Jesus like little children, we'll be delighted when he appears. Like when I pull up in the back and Sophia sees my car and screams and yells, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home, Daddy's home." comes running out. It's the one that she depends upon as a little child. Has appeared. And she is glad to see him. So we will be with Christ if we depend upon him as little children. Those who hate him will not be glad when he appears. Those who serve him after a legal fashion will consider him someone whom they're always trying to get back into the good graces with, always trying to make favorable towards them again, as if you could ever make him who loved you from eternity and gave himself for you more favorable than that by the current level of your performance. It would be a frightful thing for them, for the Lord Jesus to appear, because they will not be doing, you will never get to the point where you are doing as well as you need to be, if that's what you think is what makes the favor or pleasure of Christ towards you. So, if you depend upon him as a little child from your new birth, you get a new confidence, because he is the one in whom you abide, and you will not be ashamed before him at your coming. You also have a new nature from him. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Or, to put it in a logically equivalent statement, no one practices righteousness who is not born of him. That's a positive. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that's because we are born of Adam. So, everyone who practices sin is born of Adam. And we still practice sin. We're born of Adam. But, if you get a new birth from Jesus, you get a new nature. You kill that old man that was left over from having been born of Adam. There's only one way that you can come to practice any kind of righteousness. So that preparationism you are hearing about, you need to repent well enough or be sorry enough before you can believe in Jesus. What a bunch of rubbish. Because the right kind of being sorry can only come from Jesus. Isn't feeling sorry over your sin a good and right thing? Isn't it a righteous thing to respond to your sin that way? And therefore, we could never produce it from ourselves. It must come through saving faith in Jesus Christ. So we have not just a new confidence, but we have this new nature that we get from Jesus, from which even our grief and hatred of sin and our true sense of it and our apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, our full purpose of new obedience, our endeavor after, all of those things come from the new nature that you can only get from Jesus. And then every other, of course, good thought, good feeling, good choice, good word, good action can only come from Jesus. So a new confidence, a new nature, a new status. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So not only do we know ourselves to be like little children who must depend entirely upon the Lord Jesus, but God formally adopts us. He declares that we are officially his children. He does not do so grudgingly. He does not do so merely as a legal transaction, although it is a legal transaction. We come into the number of and have rights to all the privileges of the sons of God in our adoption. It is a legal action. But it's not merely a legal action. It is something he does especially in his love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. And so when we see that we are legally adopted and called the children of God, we are commanded here by the Holy Spirit, using the pen of the apostle, to behold love in that legal status. To behold our God as a Father who is pleased to take us as his children. Who cannot wait, as it were, to pour out all of his fatherly love and provision and protection and take fatherly pleasure in us as his children. It was love that produced the legal transaction. So there's that new confidence. There is that new nature. There is that new status. And then there's new trouble. Remember the texts, those who have lost fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, houses, and lands will reap a hundredfold. Fathers, brothers, mothers, sisters. I missed something. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, houses, and lands with persecutions, right? And so here, part of the privilege that we have as the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Just like we saw in the sermon yesterday, that the Pharaoh did not know Joseph did not mean that he didn't know his history or that he had amnesia, but that he refused to acknowledge Joseph. It's like possibly the next Pharaoh, or maybe the same, if he was getting on in years, 40 years later or so in chapter 5, when he says, I do not know Yahweh. It's not that he's never heard the name of Yahweh, doesn't know the name of the God who's been called by that name. Back into Genesis, he is refusing to acknowledge him. Well, Romans 1 tells us that although everyone knows God, everyone can see the truth about him in the creation, everyone has the knowledge of him put in their hearts by him. Although everyone knows God, they push down, they refuse to acknowledge him as God or give thanks, says Romans chapter 1. Well, the apostle here, the Spirit by the apostle here, says, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. It's not saying that people are going to say, what was your name again? It's going to be they're going to refuse to acknowledge that your being in Christ is a good thing. They're going to refuse to acknowledge that you have a status as a child of the living God. And they're not going to treat you with the honor that belongs to someone who has the status of a child of a living God. This, of course, ought to convict us when we deal with other Christians. Are we treating them as those who are the adopted children of the Creator and Ruler of all that there is, of the Holy, 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 and Almighty God, who is from everlasting to everlasting? Yes, they might be rather boorish and foolish, quite irritating in themselves. But if they are the adopted children of Almighty God, we ought to acknowledge their status and to treat them in a way that is appropriate to their adoption. If not, then we'll be acting as this verse warns us the world will act towards us. So do not expect people to be delighted with the fact that you're becoming more like Jesus. They may be thankful to be treated well, to be loved, even though they're your enemies, that you pray for their forgiveness the way Jesus prayed for the forgiveness of those who were crucifying him. But they will despise your allegiance to God and to his law, your refusal to approve of their sin, even your praying for their forgiveness. Although they might enjoy being loved as enemies, they might hate that you think they need to even to be forgiven. And so the world will be full of those who refuse to acknowledge you and who hate you and reject you simply because you are the children of your Father in heaven. So we've got new confidence in him. Yes, it's depending on him as little children. We've got new nature, this ability to practice righteousness, and this new bent within us for righteousness comes from him. We've got the new status of adopted child for which we are commanded, in which we are commanded to behold his love. We've got the new problems, which is the world despising us. We've got a new hope. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So a new hope is to see Lord Jesus, to see what the only begotten Son of God is like as the God-man. We have the hope of his appearing. We eagerly await when all the problems that we have with our new troubles are gone. There's that facetious or sarcastic worship song on that we have viewed, and it's got the refrain, "All my problems are gone." Well, one day the devil and his angels will be cast into the lake of fire, and our sins will have been eliminated, and we'll have had every tear wiped from our eyes. Death itself, the last enemy, will be destroyed. There will be no illness, no injury. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. We'll have not only perfected souls, but glorified bodies. That day is the day of his appearing. And that is our new hope. We are certain of it. We live, therefore, as those who are bending, straining towards that day. He says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we have a new duty. Yes, we should obey God's law because he is our creator and we are his creature. Yes, we should obey Christ's law because he is our king and we are his subjects. But we also obey his law because one of the parts of our new hope is that we are going to be like him when he appears. And so we obey as the loving children of the perfectly loving Heavenly Father, out of love for our Father. And we obey as the loving siblings, as it were, of the Lord Jesus, who are eager to be like him, the only begotten Son, as so many adopted brothers and sisters. And so this new duty that we have is a duty of love to the Father, and a duty of love to the Son, and even a duty of love to the Spirit, whose pleasure it is to make us proper children of the Father, proper reflections of and outworkings of the Son. And so the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are in love combined in the work of making us like Christ. And out of love to the Father, we purify ourselves as Jesus is pure. Out of love to the Son, we purify ourselves as Jesus is pure. Out of love to the Spirit, we purify ourselves as Jesus is pure. And so the Lord gives us this way of thinking about what he has said about us in our baptism. The Lord marks you in Christian baptism. You're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You're declared to be a publicly acknowledged, formally adopted child of the Father. You're declared to be a publicly acknowledged, formally incorporated member of the body of the Son. You're declared to be a publicly acknowledged temple for the Holy Spirit. None of which you can be apart by the grace of God, the Father in the Son, by the work of the Spirit, but yet declared to be all those things, and you have a duty for all those things. And he himself is the one who is our sufficiency for that duty. Everyone who has this hope in him has this new duty to purify himself just as he is pure. So, whether you're working on how you talk to your siblings, or being diligent in your school, or being respectful of and immediately and cheerful obedient to your mother, or making better choices, and taking care of your soul, or taking care of your body, or how you use your time, or guarding your heart and mind, and not having covetous thoughts, or hateful thoughts, or lustful thoughts, whatever part of your sanctification you are growing in, you have this love to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit set before you that comes from your new birth. So in our new birth, we have a new confidence, we have a new nature, we have a new status, we have new problems, we have new hope, and we have a new duty, or at least a new way of knowing or thinking about our duty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all of what we have just seen in this portion of your word, but even just now as we address you, the command to behold your love. And we know, Lord, that you say even just a few paragraphs after what we have just read that we love you because you first loved us. That the doing of our duty comes from that love, so that it all begins with what you have done, and that for us in our response it begins with beholding what you have done and beholding the love in which you have done it. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to remember what we have read and heard here about our new birth. Pray, Lord, for each of my children that they would know the greatness of your love that has done all these things for them. And that as they grow in understanding each of the different parts of the doctrine, the theology that we just thought about from the text, that all of it would be for them the study of how you have loved them. And so we pray that we would bring honor to your name, our Father, who have put your name upon us. Don't let us be like Nathan said of David, those who give cause for your enemies to blaspheme. We pray that you would help us to delight to bring honor to your name, and that if we are hated, it would be by the same hatred with which others hate you. Please help us, we pray, in these things in Christ's name. Amen.